SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM, 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. And the Friday leading into the big weekend at Del Mar, Pacific Classic weekend, and much more, really, too, if you haven't had a chance to look ahead to Sunday and the Del Mar Mile, which is just a terrific lineup. A couple of clear favorites, but it's competitive and it's deep. And the Alabama, a lot of people, Alabama is one of their favorite races every year, any year. And the people that come to Saratoga, in some cases the same weekend or for the same race, year in, year out, the Alabama, one of those circled on the calendar. And we'll do everything we can here the next 3 hours and get you ready for the weekend. Lots of handicapping as well as lots of news. And we got finished at noon, and there was plenty of Travers conversation, especially with Steve Askin and Lenny. But we got off the air, and within minutes, the Travers news started to hit the wire, as it were. We'll talk to Dave Grenig right off the bat after the first break. Get Dave in here, and the first missive came from the West Coast, where Bob Baffert letting everybody know, and Dave communicating it, that Game Winner was going to have to bypass Travers. He's got a virus, and is once you get that antibiotic cycle, nothing you can do. You just have to put everything on hold in a week, 10 days, and then resume. So that puts him out of whack for Travers. And then, I saw some of the reaction later in the afternoon. Tom Liucci from Monmouth sending out the press release that Jason Service deciding against running, wasn't going to wait any longer and hold up the decision. Maximum Security is going to bypass. And I right away that produced this overwrought reaction. How can you bypass? How can you bypass if you don't like the way your horse is, and there's another opportunity weeks later? You go ahead. You do what makes sense for you. The people that are scoffing and attacking Parks for having the audacity to have a grade one if you don't like the way the horse is. It's pretty funny. Everybody, we got to put the horse first. Oh, well, here's Service says the horse doesn't like the way the horse is eating, doesn't like the weight, that he hasn't put on the weight that he lost out of the Haskell. But he's supposed to just run in the Travers because the public likes to see the horses run. It's amazing. There's this dialogue about doing what's right for the horse until it runs counter to somebody else's dialogue of, I want to see the stars run. Unbelievable. Can't have it both ways. I was surprised that they ever even, coming out of Haskell, I was stunned that they were enthusiastic about potentially running in the Travers. I'm not shocked that they aren't coming. I was shocked they ever, that they would have even considered it. I mean, if he was doing, and they said right away, I mean, they came out of it and said, if he's doing well, we would certainly run. And, you know, with the first 48 hours out, you know, you're out of the race and the horse is acting okay, that's the first 48 hours. Then there's a week and, you know, the effects of a big effort, and that was a big effort that he turned in. You know, and as for Game Winner, you know, he was targeting and looking good and tracking nicely. Horses get sick all the time. It's just, what are you going to do? And we'll talk to Dave, but is there something wrong with that Travers lineup the way it is right now? Even without Game Winner and Maximum Security, and who knows if it doesn't open the door for somebody else. Tax, Tacitus, Code of Honor, Owendale, Highest Hour Honors, and looking at Bikinis, Everfast, Endorsed, Laughing Fox right now. That's nine. Spinoff, maybe, as mentioned with Haskin. Maybe this spurs Todd Pletcher to run Spinoff. And we'll see if anybody else comes out of the woodwork, but I'll let Dave riff on this. I don't, I've said this several times through, you know, since the spring, but the teeth gnashing and the blood from fangs attacking anything related to Jason Service is just, I mean, over the top. It's just unbelievable. There was other news, and we'll save this for Dave Greinich, too, and very pleased that Jerry Hollendorfer has got the opportunity to bring a horse to Saratoga, and Naira will accept entries from Jerry Hollendorfer, and, you know, the situation that basically changed the dynamics of the situation for Hollendorfer out west, allowing him to resume training at Del Mar, or commence for the meet and get going, including, of course, the nice stake win over the weekend. Danuska's My Girl, breaking the ice for Jerry. And quite a few major horses, actually, including some two-year-old action for the Hollendorfer Barn this weekend. Sunday in particular, if you haven't had a chance to look ahead, anxious to talk to Jay Privman. We'll talk to Jay at the top of hour two. And there is the presence of the Don Alberto $1.4 million Tappet, the sibling, the filly, sister to Liam's Map, and not this time. Her name is Matera. She's going to have to debut from the one hole on Sunday in the opener. And, of course, this is the Miss Macy Sue bred by the Albaugh's and the $1.4 million Keeneland yearling last September. Matera, there's a bunch of interesting babies debuting on both coasts this weekend. We'll look at some of the Saratoga two-year-olds as well, but, you know, looking at the Sunday draw last night and this morning, that one jumped off at the page. And Dan Ward and Jerry Hollendorfer have been angling that one for a debut. So we'll talk some of the two-year-olds with Jay later, top of hour two. Mike Beer from the Forum as well. We got two handicapping sessions, really four, because Nick Tamaro in hour three today at the end of the show. We'll get Nick on the last 20 minutes. Mike Beer in hour two to look specifically at Saratoga. James Scully in this hour as well. We'll have Scully. He's going to do a little cross-country pick five. If you haven't seen it yet, the cross-country is going to tie in the big stakes at Saratoga and the Pacific Classic stakes, the Del Mar Oaks, and others in a cross-country pick five on Saturday. We'll look at that with Scully. I think Ed DeRosa, I think, may be in town, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's here. So we'll. I didn't talk to Ed out of Chicago, but we'll get his Arlington postscript. Looked like he had a great trip to Chicagoland. Hammer will check in hour three. I completely missed Rick while he was here, which was frustrating. Just one of the many parts of being out of commission for 2 weeks. I didn't get to see Hammer and more. We also have got a couple of things I'm going to try to get in hour three. He doesn't know it, but I'm going to reach out for Gary Gullo. On Sunday, the now annual Dominic Colusio tribute day with the Lustgarten Foundation seeking a cure for pancreatic cancer. And we had the jockey autograph signings for PDJF, always popular. For a great cause, here's another one. This gets the trainers out in force on Sunday. A chance for you to meet, virtually every trainer on the grounds. If they don't have something that completely keeps them from being able to attend, you'll have nearly everybody there. You know, certainly anybody who shared the barn area with Dominic over the years. So tragic and missed by so many every day. So Sunday, you'll see the purple coloration everywhere, and the Lustgarten Foundation, which is an amazing charitable, you know, health-related charity. Every single dollar they raise goes directly toward pancreatic cancer research. An absolute scourge, and you know, so frequently discovered after it's too late, as it was when it came to Dominic. So we'll pay tribute, and you'll see plenty of homages to Dominic. And for those of you that might have one in your closet on Sunday, wear your most outlandish sport coat. Purple if you got it for Lustgarten, but any color, any bright colored sport coat, yeah, Dominic will smile down. A couple of other notes about some stakes that you've got to be aware of. The Monmouth Oaks, as it came up yesterday with Steve and Lenny, but Jaywalk, all eyes on Jaywalk in this Grade 3 Monmouth Oaks. And certainly she's angling toward the cotillion. And if she runs back to that Delaware Oaks, that was a real step forward for her after, you know, kind of starting the year a little sluggishly, but it feels like that may have been the signal that she's back. The two-year-old filly champ, and really the only horse that could pose a threat is that Horologist for John Mazza on the rail, the Jersey bred. That race that she ran two back was a corker. That's really the only thing in the same zip code as Jaywalk. Around North America, they have not had a chance at all, and I feel remiss about this, since the opening of Century Downs. And it's their big day on Sunday, the Canadian Derby, the Grade 3. They've also got the Century Mile. Ellis Park on Sunday, they drew yesterday, the debutante and the Ellis Park juvenile. Dean Wilkes, let me know. Looks interesting. The Twirly Candy Colt. Mikhail Yannikov, that Axiomo. Looks okay. Tapiture Colt. Steve Asmussen, Rowdy Yates for the LNN team. Dale's got a first out winner from Ellis as well. Nighttime for Blue Devil. It's a nice group. The girls race I haven't looked at really as closely, but it looks like Larry Demerit has got a 5-2 shot in here. Lady Glamour. Broke the maiden for 40 at Churchill. Looks like she's moved forward since then. Dixie Moe, Wesley Ward, slow figure type, but they're two-year-olds. They can jump forward at any time. There's the Lady Jacqueline. I want to slip that in. At Thistledown, that $200,000 stake. An escape clause shows up in here, as well as My Lady Curlin. Nice matchup. And then there's a couple of other, you know, 4-1, 6-1. Arno Delacour, Gotham Gala from Mark Greer. Nice. But the focus, the Alabama, the Lake Placid, the Pacific Classic, the Del Mar Oaks, much, much more. The Green Flash as well, the Torrey Pines. Big day at Del Mar. News with Dave Greinich, though. We'll start with Dave. When we come back, James Scully, Jay Pribman, Mike Beer, Ed DeRosa, Rick Amerley, Nick Tamaro, and more at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Summer is one of the best times for serious horse players to bet their races. Saratoga and Del Mar are in full swing, along with other top tracks like Gulfstream and Laurel. And ExpressBet puts them all at your fingertips. Plus, ExpressBet customers can play in exclusive tournaments and promotions this summer, and new customers can earn a $500 sign-up bonus. Visit ExpressBet.com today. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in the state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Echobase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. Coming up on 20, and Dave Greinich will be with us in a minute. And nice way to come back because, of course, being alive, having Casey back and alive, he's trying to, something went wrong yesterday. He was on that mic at the end of the show, but we couldn't hear him on my end. I don't know if you guys heard him. Maybe you did, but I couldn't. So we're still trying to figure out if something's. He and I were trying to figure it out before the show, but thanks for the unbelievably warm reception. Having Casey back for me is so heartening. I can't begin to tell you. Yeah, undoubtedly everybody, and you know, between Deja and Joe, have done unbelievable work. But you know, obviously the concern for Casey after you know these months and months of fighting to regain equilibrium on a health basis, just so great to hear his voice and you know to be able to do the give and take that he and I do behind the scenes. Whenever we're on the air together, so you'll hear from Casey as soon as we can get the maybe what we should do is have Deja should call you and plug you through the phone system. On the phone though, Dave Groening at Saratoga, and I'd love to be able to dive just right into discussion about the weekend stake races, but there was so much hard news that came flowing yesterday, a lot of it Travers related and some of it Jerry Hollendorfer related. Dave Groening, good morning.
Steve, good morning. Glad to hear your voice. Glad you're back on back in the game. You're the ears and eyes of racing. We need you back. Glad you're back.
Well, I don't know if I'm the eyes. I may be just the eye. I am the cyclops of racing.
There you go. Either way, we need you back. I'm glad you're back.
Thanks so much. And, you know, I opened the show. I had to talk about the, you know, the two defections from the Travers. And, you know, one was surprising, game winner, you know, getting a little, you know, just enough of an illness, a little virus to knock him out. The other one, people are acting like Maximum Security was guaranteed to run. I was surprised they ever even considered running.
Well, I think what it was is that it was a race they wanted to run in if the horse was right. The horse just, you know, the Haskell, I think that day knocked out a lot of horses, and it's going to be interesting to see some of these big names when they come back.
That's a good point.
Even like a Midnight Bazoo next week in the personal ensign, you know, it'll be interesting to see how these horses react to the day. And I was always a little suspect on whether Maximum Security would make the race. Jason's public comments, and even to me, were, I'd like to run, but I need the horse to be right. And, you know, I guess after, you know, yesterday, I guess was the day they decided to say that the horse would not be right. He wasn't eating. And now you even wonder if he makes the Pennsylvania Derby. I mean, the quote that he gave Tom Lucci, the publicity director of Monmouth, was, we're going to take him out of training for a week, but we still have 4 weeks to make the Pennsylvania Derby. To me, I don't know. You take a horse out of train for a week; it takes several weeks to get, to make that back. So I'll be interested. You know, I'll be suspect of him making the Pennsylvania Derby until I actually see him in the starting gate.
That's a fair point, and we'll watch and monitor that. And I'm glad you widened the discussion, Dave, to everybody that ran on that, you know, perilously warm day, and that's a great point. Let's see how everybody comes out of it. And it, you know, the one thing I remarked is it's so funny that in an environment where all we hear about is being about the horse and taking care of the horse, and we have to be concerned about the horse, then you get an announcement that they're not going to run, and I see a flood of, oh, how could you bypass the Travers? It's like, you know, I suppose it's just because the landscape is open to anybody with a keyboard, but it does get tiresome.
It does. It does. Social media has, you know, worn me down a little bit to a degree. And you're right. If anyone has a keyboard and an opinion, it's a dangerous combination sometimes. Look, these are horses. They're animals. They're not machines. They don't just just go the way you want them to go. And you know, these horses have had hard campaigns just to get to the Triple Crown series. Some of them ran only once in the Triple Crown. Others ran more than once. And then some of them have run since then. And, you know, in the case of Game Winner, you know, Baffert was very excited, from what I understand, to get that horse here. He worked super on earlier in the week, and he just got sick. And there was something going. There's something going around in Baffert's barn. He said it's not the only horse he has that's gotten sick, and it may not be the only horse that you hear about that's gotten sick. You know, as he tries to get horses ready for other races. So, you know, it's again, they're not machines. They're animals, humans. They're living, breathing animals, and things happen just like they happen to humans.
Let's give everybody a quick glance with basically a week to go, and you know, less. The draw is on Tuesday. Where's the Sperry's or the Adelphi?
Adelphi. Yeah.
All right. So,
well,
of course,
we just had a couple workers about in the last 15 minutes here. Tax just went a half mile and 47 flat on my watch, out 59 and 4, out triple, double out 112 and 3 with IRAD up. And then endorsed shortly thereafter with Rosario up. Rosario was supposed to ride Game Winner, I believe. He's now going to ride endorsed. I had 48-1 out a minute, out of 101-2, and so you pick up that, you pick up endorsed, I think, for now for sure. I've been texting with Dallas Stewart. He's sending a horse called Chess Chief here, who I believe is second in the Indy Derby. So I'll go alphabetically: Chess Chief, Code of Honor, endorsed, Everfast, Highest Honors, Laughing Fox, Looking at Bikinis, Owendale, Tacitus, and Tax. And I need to check in with Stanley Huff to see if he's considering either Global Campaign or Scars Are Cool. And then I also need to check in with Todd about Spinoff. So I think we have, what did I give you there? I give you 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I have 10 definite.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe two question marks. So the field is, it's going to be one of those proverbial good betting races, because it's going to be a large field, and you lost your two favorites. However you thought they would be wagered, I thought it would be Game Winner over Max Security. Others disagree with me, think Max Security over Game Winner. It does, it's a moot point now. My guess, if I had a guess, Tacitus is the favorite in that group. If I'm forgetting someone, then I apologize, but I know Tax beat Tacitus, but everyone thought, because of the stumble, Tacitus said the better, you know, was the better horse that day. So I'm going to guess Tacitus will be your driver's favorite.
And we kicked this around yesterday, and the horse that I kept going back to and keep coming back to, that, you know, even particularly if Game Winner and or Max Security had run, that was being, you know, kind of shunted aside. You know, the obviously you got the two Chad Browns that are both intriguing, and Tacitus and Tax out of the Jim Dandy. Code of Honor has just been quietly out of the glare, working along. And how do you figure he fits in to the betting at this point now? Second or third choice, I guess.
Yeah, I could see him as the second or third choice, maybe the second choice. I'll tell you another horse, and Code of Honor, before I go to Code of Honor, is training very well. He, you know, goes out there at 5:30 in the morning when he works, and the last 2 weeks I've caught him working, and he seems to be doing very well. Another horse that's sort of, because he's out of sight, out of mind, is Owendale, the horse that was second, third in the Preakness, and won Ohio Derby. He's lighting it up at Churchill Downs, and I'm waiting. You know, he's got one more work, I think, this weekend there, and then he'll ship in. But the only thing I think with him, the issue with him, Owendale, I think, might be the pace, because in addition to, you know, what Maxim Security brought as just a good star caliber type of horse, he also brought pace. And now I'm going to have to reevaluate and see where this pace comes from, because I'm not exactly sure right now where the speed of the Travers will be coming from.
Well, absolutely a big part of the question, you know, looking at this, you know, the horse that I, you know, coming out of Jim Dandy, that I thought would benefit from a big field with speed was Laughing Fox. You know, I thought the mile and a quarter and an authentic pace, that he would be overlooked and would, you know, would end up being an overlay. But again, he absolutely has to have something to run at. Not surprised at all that Dallas Stewart swung into action with yesterday's news. I brought up chess with Haskin and Lenny Shulman yesterday, because it felt like a chance for for Dallas to jump into the fray. Well, of course, Everfast is going to be hurt if there's not a lot of pace, although his performance last time, at least he was more involved earlier. So we'll look to see how this field morphs between now and Tuesday. Meanwhile, Dave, let's touch on the Jerry Hollendorfer story, which continues to kind of move and find its own level. And for me, you know, every venue that Jerry Hollendorfer gets back into the good graces is a positive, and Naira now will accept entries from Jerry.
Yeah, it's been a little strange. You know, Naira, you know what I sort of liken it to? Is like the Wizard of Oz. Like, okay, Dorothy, go away and come back with the Wicked Witch's broom. Jerry, go away until you come back with a legal ruling in your favor. And that's what I think happened here. He was sort of asked to go away. He got helped by the fact that owner Larry Best moved those horses to Don Chatlow's. And now Jerry really didn't have a reason to be in New York. And then he got the broom, i.e. the ruling, the legal ruling from Del Mar, from the court in California, and now he can flash that in, and now instead of a PR nightmare that Naira was afraid of because of Jerry, God forbid, Jerry Hollendorfer ran horses in New York, now they were afraid of legal action if they didn't allow him to run. So all of a sudden, the legal ruling in Jerry's favor, in Del Mar, opened the door for him to come here. I, as of now, I don't think Jerry is looking to run a ton of horses in New York. This horse, he thinks, fits the king for the Allen Jerkins, so he's sending that horse here. Will he send more horses here? I guess it depends on what happens if he's able to get back in at Santa Anita when that meet opens. It all remains to be seen, but I really think that's what happened here. Go away, bring me some evidence that I can give me something to hang my hat on to allow you to run here. And he got a legal ruling in his favor, and so there it is.
Well, there's a Belinda Stronach line in here somewhere, but I'll let somebody else take a swing at it. I'm just pleased for Jerry. And on this topic too, let's quickly glance at the Jerkins, and it doesn't feel like Chancelot has scared too many people away. It feels like a nice 10, 11, 12 horse field.
Yeah, you know, look, it's a grade one. I guess people are thinking he can't do that again, can he? They might not be thinking about that after the fact. But and I know Hog Creek Hustle and Wonder Woody Stevens have been pointing for this race, so they were definitely coming. So you got King Jack, Baracho for Rusty Arnold. Mind Control has been pointing for this race forever. Nitrous, Rowayton, the interesting thing there, Rowayton used to be Jerry's horse, now he's with Chatlow's, and it's Larry Best, so there you got a little, hey, remember me type thing. Chancelot, Super Comet for Mark Cassie, and 12th Labor for Dallas Stewart and the, Benson.
So what do we got there? 5, 6, 7. That's 9 with King Jack. Right. So we'll see. We'll see if anybody else jumps in. I asked Cassie actually about a couple of horses yesterday, and we'll see if anybody else adds in. All right, let's get away from the hard news and turn toward what's been going on, Dave. And with me out of commission for 2 weeks, really didn't get a chance to recap the Whitney and the test all that much, and everything that went on Hall of Fame weekend. Then, of course, this past weekend, the four-star Dave. I did have Cassie yesterday because what got Stormy did, and at least we've gotten some rain. Maybe the two turf courses will soften up a little bit, and this assault on the record book. We've had 3 turf course records fall.
Yes, it's been the weather, which was such a big concern at the beginning, with the heat causing one cancellation and midday rainstorm, catching the grounds crew here not prepared and causing the 7 races to get canceled, really has turned to the better. We haven't had a race taken off the turf since in the month of August, We'll see if that changes today. Although right now, the most recent text from the racing office indicated that everything is on, including turf works, which is where I'm headed to as we speak. But yes, it's been kind of crazy with some of these. I mean, 132 is kind of nutty for the turf course there. Even yesterday, the uncontested, you know, when you relay, you know, that might be the track record for seven furlongs, because Darby Creek Road's track record was in 1978, and that was before we timed them in 100. So what if that time was actually 120.59? We don't know. So even the dirt has been playing fast.
Well, we're waiting. We're in MTO today with Carlisle Bell. So I hate to be the guy that's sort of rooting for some races to come off. But I will be honest. If we can come off the turf, I won't be completely unhappy about the sixth race.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, it feels like, believe me, it actually showered when these horses, when Tax was working and endorsed. Actually, I think maybe when Tax was working, he might have stopped by the time the doors worked, even though it was only about 5 minutes difference. It was raining, but I just don't think it's enough to, right now, like you were saying, like we're talking about with the turf course yielding such rapid times that maybe some rain is actually good for it. It will actually make it a better turf course to run on as opposed to take them off. So we'll see. I guess we got, 14 days left, is it?
Yep,
again,
what's today?
Three plus 11. So if we have 14 days left, you know, lucky things are going so well here right now. I'm sure they're going to try and ride the wave of keeping them on the grass. And I think there's six of them on. So we'll have to wait and see. But as of now, I'd say we're going to go for the grass unless we get more rain. And it does sort of feel like we get more rain.
All right. Well, I'm gonna wait and see. I'll take a wait and see attitude. She re-entered again for Sunday too, MTO, and there is Sunday. I guess Saturday night is the next round of weather. So if we get through today, we won't have to worry again until Sunday. Let's talk about Saturday, and in particular the two graded stakes: the Grade One Alabama, the 3-year-old fillies going the classic distance, always interesting. And Dunbar Road made an 8-5 favorite, which feels like an underlay going in. This is a nice field. Thoughts on the Alabama day?
Yeah, look, it's not about who you think the best horse is in the Alabama. It's about who you think is the best equipped to get the mile and a quarter. Last year, got lucky with Eskimo Kisses. I really thought that she was primed to get the mile and a quarter. She also got pace, and it worked out really well. And I kind of think a similar scenario might create itself here with Point of Honor. I think Point of Honor is might be the best equipped to get the mile and a quarter. She's a little bit of a grinder type, but you know, I like to race in the Black Eyed Susan as she, you know, came through the lane and got there, and you know, she chased the loose on a lead in the coaching club and was settled for second best. Garana's not here, so we don't have to worry about her. I guess the only question is, will it be enough pace here? It could be, but I just think she's the best bred to get the mile and a quarter, and that's where I would go.
And I won't disagree overall. Champagne, anyone feels like the right price to me. The 10 to 1.
Look, he took the blame. Mike McAdam of the Gazette and myself cornered him yesterday after the first race, and we asked him, what went awry in the coaching club, and he basically took the blame for himself. He said, I thought I had her more prepared than I did, and she kind of flattened out and got a little bit tired on him, and he said that that race has moved her forward. Her training since then has been solid. Look, Wilkes is as good as anyone to get a horse to go a mile, to prepare a horse for a mile and a quarter. So maybe that was the actual best case scenario prep race for him, for Champagne Anyone, to get her ready for this mile and a quarter test. And you're probably right, from a price standpoint, she's probably the best value in the race.
Looking at the Lake Placid.
Street Band as well.
That's true. And Larry Jones has won this at least twice, right?
Proud Spell,
and I'm going to forget the other
once.
One.
Didn't he get DQ'd from the race once too?
Did he get taken down in this?
Was that the coaching club? I thought he got DQ'd in chat, and not maybe once the Alabama, maybe it was the coaching club. He got DQ'd out of some race here that Todd got put up.
I, you know what? You say that, and I'm going to have to go. You're going to make me dive into the record book. Let's take a glance at the Lake Placid, too. The three-year-old fillies going the mile and a 16th. And, you know, you knew Chad Brown would be prepared. Regal Glory and Blowout, and they're both, you know, they're both very viable. I thought Christophe Clement and Rosario with Feel Glorious was worth looking at. And Varenka down inside feels like it comes from those four.
Yeah, I kind of like Varenka in here. You know, look, Graham thought enough of her last year to keep her running in stakes races as a maiden. And she was performing well, just not well enough. But, you know, she was running against a then in form and at the top of her game, newspaper of record. She was beating a length by Dog Tag over Yielding Ground. Her races this year, she got the maiden win at Belmont in May. Third in the Regret, where it looked like she had some little bit of trouble, and then she had the outside post here. Not easy to win from the 10 hole, and I liked her race, the gameness, the tenacity that she showed winning that A at the then on July 14th, and she's run well on this course. She's improving. I like her a little bit. Blowout, you know, looks like the speed, and you just wonder if there's anyone in here that can run with her, though. That's the big question here. I just, looking at it on paper, I don't see a ton of speed in here. So we'll have to see how that develops. And now, I didn't realize this. Wildlife is entered here and Del Mar. that horse has to be somewhere. I just don't know where.
Well, and Vicky Oliver has gotten involved out at Del Mar the last couple of summers. So we'll find out about that. You mentioned Wildlife for Watts Humphrey. And since it came up, we should certainly mention that, you know, Chad has got the pair that he sent out there in Cambier Park as well as Dog Tag. So Chad, well positioned for the 2 3-year-old stakes on Saturday. And there is, I'll remind everybody, the Del Mar Saratoga Cross Country Pick 5 to latch on to tomorrow. We're going to look at that actually with James Scully. And on that topic, Dave, before we wrap up, any early read? I'm not a fan of the jackpot bets at all. I find it usury, and I'm just adverse to it, period. But what's been the early reception? What are they saying about the numbers that it's generating?
It's kind of odd. You know, they're not fans of it, but they're, yeah, you know, they're probably basking in the fact that they're betting $200,000 a day on it. And that wouldn't be betting $200,000 a day in the pick six if it's $2. So from a handle standpoint, it's got to be a big plus. I do know that they're trying to figure out a way. I don't know when this would happen. It would not up here, but that they could offer both the 20 cent and the $2 one. I think would have to do, you know, they'd have to make some changes to the tote system. But they have to. I would think that they're happy with the reception so far, and we'll see what happens Sunday. I guess what do you think? The carryover will be close to 300,000 on Sunday with a must giveaway day, and I just don't know how much they bet into it. Would they bet a million, 2 million? I'm not sure, but I got to think that they have to like the results so far.
Should mention too, top of the show, I talked about all the nice babies that we're going to see over the weekend on both coasts, and take a quick note about tomorrow, Dave, in the first main track only, Fort McHenry. This, of course, is the sibling to California Chrome, but Acre for Bill Mott and Claiborne and Mrs. Dilschneider. You've got the Blame tie-in with Acre, and you've also got Stellar Agent's sibling Anaconda for Chad Brown in this race. You got a full sibling for Wertheimer as well, the homebred. That's a full to Silencio, who of course Gary Mandela had and was a multiple stake winner. So you got some very nice pedigrees on display in that opener tomorrow.
Yeah, and then I'm gonna jump several races ahead of you and just point out that Candy Tycoon, who's in the seventh
right
for Pletcher, has been handling Fort McHenry pretty well in the morning. So I'm interested to see that Candy Tycoon run in the afternoon there in the seventh race on the dirt at 6.5 furlongs. You do have a grand national horse, Irish Mias, who was second in an off-the-turf horse against to another Miracle, who's running today in the state. We'll see how that plays out. But, yeah, two good baby races. The first, which you would imagine it would stay on the grass, and Anaconda, you know, for Chad, looks to be training pretty well and should be tough. And then I'm interested in that Kingman horse, too, King's Honor. The Irish bred for Jonathan Thomas is also has some good works, you know. And Yankee Empire, actually, who I know John liked a lot, his trust list was all right. Whatever that day was, he won 7/8. That horse, I'm interested to see how he handles the grass because his work was pretty good.
You've also got what essentially is a companion race on Sunday, the Phillies going 1/16 on the grass. This will go as the third race, and Chad sends out Americano Girl for Peter Brandt. This was a $700,000 Keeneland yearling bred by, here she is again, Jane Lyon, Summer Wind. Unbelievable. This is the Aubie K. Medaglia d'Oro. That's a half to Principi Guilherme. You've got Hennig for Don Adam, Make or Break. This is a sibling of Orbed. Back for another try is Good Shabbos for Maya and Al Gold, the Avinu Malkano sibling. And then second start for Graham Motion, Sharing. And this is the Sagamore-bred Spitestown filly out of Shared Account. And then in the sixth race, how about a half to Danzig Moon for Todd Pletcher, Ontario-bred. And Abilene Trail, I think, bears some watching.
Yeah, Abilene Trail was one that was mentioned to me by Todd earlier, yeah, before when I did my 2-year-old story, so I'm interested to see that one debut. Interesting that Saez is on that horse. I wonder if Johnny is here that day. I'm not sure. But, yeah, that was one I was interested in. And like you mentioned, the Grand Motion horse had a Shared Account earlier in the card, second time out, stretching out in distance. That should be what she wants to do.
Very nice. Well, Dave, we're looking forward to tomorrow, particularly one of my favorite races over the years, the Alabama, and the last three weekends, summer on the other side of midnight, as Gary Young would say.
Yeah, we're not quite there yet. The clock's not there yet, but I'll be watching it.
I love it. Dave, I appreciate it. And I should also mention, I'll remind with you on the line, the fundraiser for Dominic Colusio in his memory, of course, on Sunday. And this is always, as sad as it is, it's a great opportunity to pay tribute to Dominic, the Lustgarten Foundation. And for, you know, those that come in, you can meet all the trainers. Everybody turns out. And from 11:30 to 12:30 by the Jockey Silks room down that balustrade. And you have an opportunity to make a contribution. And there's pictures that you can get signed and a hat, and bring your own pictures of horses for the various trainers that'll be there. And pretty much everybody turns out.
Yeah, it should be. It's definitely a good for a good cause. I think there's some sort of picture of Diversify from the Whitney last
year.
Yes,
yes,
is being given out, that you can get that signed, or like you said, bring your own. And you know, it's well worth. It's a good cause. You meet some trainers. Maybe they'll give you a push on the horse.
Are you gonna wear your most appropriate Dominic sport coat?
Yeah, it's in the cleaners.
I'll break out something appropriate, a yellow or a red or something, something that that would make Dominic smile. He was the greatest. Unbelievable. 5 years it's been. 5 years.
It's unreal. I can't believe it. 5 years.
I know. Too sad. Dave, thanks so much.
You got it. And good, like I said at the top, good. Glad you're back, buddy.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Grenning, everybody. DRF Grenning on your Twitter machine. We'll stay right here. Lots to do. James Scully going to roll in. And I mentioned the cross-country pick five that links up the stakes in New York with the stakes in California. We're going to look at it with James. But let's catch up. We haven't talked, obviously, in 3 weeks. James, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Listen, I'm so glad to see you back on the air. Thrilled that both you and KC are on the road to recovery. I know it's been a tough stretch, but one of many who love and support you all wholeheartedly and think you do a great job. So welcome back.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it. James, how's your summer? What have you been hitting? What have you been impressed with?
Well, it hadn't been the best Saratoga meet for me, that's for sure. But I've definitely been impressed a little bit. I thought last year, the two-year-olds that emerged from there, I was a little bit questionable about. But been encouraged, not only at Saratoga, with the likes of Greenlight Go, Godzilla, Tis the Law, By Your Side, and Basin, but even like at Del Mar, that Collusion Illusion, twirling candy cold, improved the 2-for-2 for Mark Glatt. Real good looking win. Baffertson out in Empire Maker Cold 8 rings, crushed his rivals, looked real good. And I'll mention a 2-year-old at Ellis Park, Steve, drew a lot of comparisons to Not This Time, Same Connections, All Ball.
Sure.
And Dale Roman's Dennis Is the Moment. Tis Now Colt, won by 19 and a quarter length. So I know they're really excited about that youngster. So, yeah, good looking group of 2-year-olds, it seems like, over the last month. And, that's one takeaway I have.
Well, and we talked to Dale after Dennis's Moment broke out, and they're going to wait for Churchill. For those that were wondering, if you hadn't seen Dale's decision about, I guess it was earlier in the week or maybe last weekend, that they're going to wait for Churchill, and as opposed to coming for the hopeful. And they've got a plan to get to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. So that's the way they're going to go. And let's dive in, James, and get some opinions. And I hadn't given everybody the specifics of the cross-country, but it's the Lake Placid and the Alabama, the 9th and the 10th at Saratoga. And then you'll have to wait a couple of hours until the Del Mar Handicap, the Oaks, and the Pacific Classic. So basically all the major graded stakes, the grade ones and twos from the two major venues, starting at 5:26 with the Lake Placid. Some thoughts?
Yeah, that starts off with the Lake Placid. I like number one, Varenka. She's my lone A in there. I like to move back to Stakes Company for this motion trained daughter of Ghost Zapper. So good class at two. Came back this year in May, broke her maiden. I thought, just a little bit of a tough trip in traffic, needed that race from like an experience and fitness standpoint in the Regret. And last time, really a good performance, showed her affinity for Saratoga turf, overcoming a tough post and getting up to beat, catch a bid that day. So I think she's the horse to beat. I do like her chances in the Lake Placid. I would definitely say with both Brown Runners, number four, Blowout, number five, Regal Glory. I think Blowout, ideally for her, I think they hope Amadrea shows a little speed inside so they can sit second. And, if Varenka falters, that's who I like in there, Steve.
And I for those of you that ABC tickets, I'm going to keep reiterating that Feel Glorious is not outclassed in this group. And at the very least, on your backup tickets, I think you want to include Feel Glorious for 50 cents somewhere.
Yeah. All right. And, the next race is the Alabama. It's really interesting. I mean, this 3-year-old Philly division this year, sort of, it looks like it's coming down to the Chad Brown Runners, Dunbar Road and Garana, who, won't meet up until the Breeders' Cup Distaff that they both make a trip out there, it looks like. But Dunbar Road, I really like her chances in there. I think, she has a tactical speed. She won't be too far back. We're saving ground from the inside alongside maybe a couple others in there. Little concern just about Point of Honor's run style, Steve. She doesn't have much tactical speed. She always puts herself in position, but, she can come up short at times. So I'm thinking about taking a stand against her. I will mention that if looking for a saver in there, I think this Ulele for Brad Cox has a good upside, bred to handle the out of ground easily. And last time in that Iowa Oaks, I just think that rail draw did her no favors. That allowed Lady Apple to really track her throughout. So if Ulele gets clear in the early going, I think she has the best chance of upsetting Dunbar Road.
Well, and my price idea in here is Champagne Anyone. I will trust Ian Wilkes, and the case has been made too for Larry Jones and his ability, you know, to prepare a filly for this race in particular, and both, you know, both Jones and of course Team Nafsker when it comes to Ian and Carl when it comes to this race too. So Champagne anyone I think Street Band at least as backup types, you know, for those that play that way. Let's turn to California.
Yeah, and the first race in the sequence out there, the third leg of the cross country pick five is the Del Mar Handicap, and they got a 9-horse field, a pretty solid group. You know, I'll just start right away with, you know, the top two contenders in there. Number five, United. Really, I thought that was a sharp effort last time. This four-year-old gelding by Johns Causeway is just really appears to be coming on for Richard Mandela and could be a good one. And then number right to his outside and starting gate is the Great Day. Son of Harlan, Argentinian-bred son of Harlan's Holiday for Arnaud Delacour, who, you know, skipped the Arlington Million last week for this race. Gets a little bit more ground and much softer company. So both horses, you know, to me, aren't like dead closers. They don't have to be too far back in the early going. But one thing about this Del Mar Handicap is that there isn't much speed on paper. And number nine, Acclimate, is picking up the services of Florent Giroux, who had three front-running turf runs at Arlington Park last week, is really riding with confidence. And his last start at a mile and a 16th, they were just in an all-and-out sprint in that race, 22, 45, 108 and change. Really didn't have any chance that day. I'll draw a line through that effort and make the case that he could be lone speed on top for D'Amato. You know, he won the San Juan Capistrano wire-to-wire, two back. Has won, you know, won two in a row. So definitely a class check, major check, class check for Acclimate. But he does have a little bit of a look at 12-1 in my eyes, Steve.
Nice. Go ahead through the.
Yeah, and then the next one, Del Mar Oaks, definitely Cambier Park, a strong contender. I mean, her only two losses this year are to Concrete Rose, the top three-year-old turf filly in the country. And in that wonder again, two back. It was a pretty solid pace that day, and she just rolled right on by. Looks like there's a lot of speed in here to the outside, or at least a solid amount. I will, though, I'll use Cambier Park as an A in here, Steve, but I'll also use number four, Hard Legacy. This hard-spun filly, you know, really didn't run that well in a pair of mile stakes. I mean, she ran okay, but I thought she really took a major step forward for Norm Cassie, stretching out to a mile and eighth distance, the same distance she'll run tomorrow. Hard Legacy, I know she went wire to wire in that regret. She's going to revert to rating tactics here, but I think she's got a lot of upside, and I think she has a chance to sit right behind the leaders and make that first run. So I'm going with the one and the four to price in the Del Mar Oaks.
Yeah, I won't argue. I won't argue there at all, and I'm glad you brought up the alternative at a price, because you know, turf course at Del Mar, and you know, there's certain points to move. Horses sometimes get stacked up into the turn and off the turn, and little trickier than it looks, not obvious. And on Sunday as well, looking at that Del Mar mile that is out of this world, there might be reason to go, you know, price shopping there as well. What about the Pack Classic?
Yeah, and the Pacific Classic. I'll just say real quick, I mean, I'm just really stunning with Catalina Cruiser, undefeated at two terms, two-time graded stakes winner. Would have unquestionably been the morning line favorite and most likely the betting time favorite. And, you know, kudos to both Sadler and the owners, Aronis Racing. A lot of people wouldn't have made that move. They're going to aim for either Pat O'Brien or Forgo, it sounds like. I just think, you know, there's not a lot of pace in here, Steve. I think number two, Quip, is coming in on the upswing for Rudolph Brissette. And I just like his tactical speed and potential for a great trip in here. He's my top choice. I'm going to give him the edge on the front end with Florent Giroux. I also thought that, you know, just, you know, seeking the solo, just didn't like the way the race sets up. I was a little intrigued by both Tenfold and Mongolian Groom, at least, you know, for definitely like for straight exotics, vertical exotics, because Tenfold to me just got too far back in that Foster last time, didn't run a step. Just that his Pimlico special effort two starts back, that race looks a little bit like the Pacific Classic, arguably. And then Mongolian Groom just brings improving form into the race for his connections coming off that runner-up effort in the San Diego.
Well, it's a group that didn't necessarily have the overwhelming handicap division star power such as it is, but the top three and then the next few make for a competitive running. But Pavel Quip, Seeking the Soul, Little War Story campaign. Damn, the whole Mongolian team continues to operate, very quietly, and it was such a fun story when it broke out. The sprinter on the turf, but he's really found a home out there, and is bringing a steady parade of nice horses, and it's not just a novelty act.
And I'll say this about Seeking the Soul. I'm not counting him out of, like, classic Breeders' Cup Classic. I mean, if you think that horse is improving, his speed ratings are improving, you can make the case that Foster was a breakthrough effort for him. The best thing potentially for you is for him just to be a late-running third tomorrow, because he'll get a different setup from a pace scenario in the Breeders' Cup Classic, you have to think.
Well, there you go. Are you going to put a ticket construction together?
Yes, I will. I'll definitely construct a ticket at Twin Spires. I'll post that later today. I'll tag you on it, and I'll be up at Saratoga next week for the Travers. So
excellent.
Yeah, looking forward to that trip. It's always a great weekend of racing,
without fail. And anything else? You got a last minute Friday Scully play?
Hey, I'll mention a horse. I thought that opener at Saratoga was wide open on the inner turf. Number 10, Driftwood, was entered for the grass last time. I thought he made a little bit of a middle move in that race before flattening out in the mud. Adds Lasix, shows a solid half-mile turf work. Not impossible for McPeak, Cold Jockey, and Leperu, but still 15-1, the value's there, price is there.
Excellent. I appreciate it. James Scully, everybody. James_Scully111 on Twitter and at Twin Spires on the blog roll on a regular basis, and here in Saratoga with your friends. That's right. That I met last year in the grandstand that you've known for years, right?
Right. Yeah. They own the Saratoga trackside bar and grill right next to the t-shirt stand outside the clubhouse entrance. Stop in there and say hello. I'm doing a handicapping seminar next Sunday there at 10 a.m.
Outstanding. I'm glad you mentioned it. And, of course, last year we're not really doing it this year. The Thoroughgraph seminars, Jerry took a break from them this year, and we basically convened a trackside. It's one of the great little hidden gems at Saratoga. So a nice plug for them as well. James, best of luck this weekend, and I will see you next week.
Sounds good, Steve. Thank you.
James Scully, everybody. Let's take a break. Top of the hour upon us, and we'll have Jay Pribman when we come back in hour two. Jay and Mike Beer, Ed DeRosa, and more weekend preview at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
All right, carry the four plus this. I got that. All right. 26,876. What's that? That's how many races you could have bet last summer on ExpressBet. Haven't signed up for an account yet? What are you waiting for? On top of all those races, ExpressBet's giving away 25 million XB rewards points with promotions at Saratoga, Del Mar, and more. Plus, ExpressBet's Fun in the Sun Handicapper Tournament features $120,000 in prizes, including seats to the 2020 Pegasus Betting Championship. I know, I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you here, but here's one more. $2,500. That's the sign-up bonus you could get when you sign up for ExpressBet. So let's recap. 26,000 races, $500 sign-up bonus, $120,000 handicap retirement, and 25 million rewards points. Hey, this math just adds up. ExpressBet is your way to play this summer. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states. Open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Echobase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Hey, you! Come out here on the floor!
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Come out of here on the floor! Honey, let's rock some more, yeah! Now, when you get out here, don't you have no fear. Put your hands on your hip and let your backbone slip and work out!
We're back at the races, 5 minutes into hour two. Speaking of workouts, Jay Bridman has been carefully tracking the workout progress of Omaha Beach and the excitement building for his return, pointing toward the shared belief. Just one of the topics to discuss with Jay Bridman of the Daily Racing Form. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Yes, Omaha Beach has come back, the second most important comeback to discuss.
Behind Casey.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I feel great. There's still some short strokes to this, but at least I can stand up and walk around and sit up for hours at a time, which I couldn't do for a couple of weeks. So, thank you.
Well, as Trevor Denman says, all you need to do is keep reaching down deep and finding more.
I will. And I jumped in. I literally jumped in at the quarter pole this week, you know, for Thursday and Friday. It's Pacific Classic weekend out there. It's Alabama weekend here. You gotta get up off the mat. Tina has been doing an imitation of Mickey in the Rocky movies, keeping me going.
Cut me, Tina.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. She'll cut me. Jay, there's so much going on out there. I don't want to distract with Travers. We did have Dave Grenig discuss the way the field has morphed in the last 24 hours. And, of course, it started with out there with game winner yesterday around noon.
Right. I mean, that was an unfortunate development because his work the other day was tremendous. But obviously it stressed him to the point where he got a little temperature coming out of it. And so unfortunately he's going to miss the Travers, but boy, he had been training lights out. So hopefully this will be a brief hiccup, maybe analogous to what happened with, Schrodinger for Simon Callahan last week in the best foul. And he's already back on the track and pointing to the Del Mar Futurity, and hopefully game winner will be able to get back on the beam soon and continue moving on, because it really looked like he was coming to hand pretty nicely.
Was followed, hours later by the official word that Jason Service and the West team were going to bypass Travers with maximum security. I don't know why that was taken as such a stunning decision. I was shocked that they
only
were
if you weren't paying attention.
Exactly. I amazing to me.
Yeah. Well. anyway, every day people seem amazed by stuff that seems fairly obvious. So.
Fair enough. Let's turn our attention to what's going on out there. Obviously, we'll talk Travers next week when the field is assembled, and whatever it is, it'll be good because it's the Travers. Jay, out there, you've got a wonderful Pacific Classic day, a great supporting cast of races, undercard stakes, and maiden races. The two-year-olds are coming out in force, both male and female. Let's start with the Pac Classic.
Okay. The Pacific Classic is the thing that makes it interesting this year is that there's quite a bit of participation from horses shipping in. You know, with War Story, Quip, Seeking the Soul, who'll be the favorite in the race, and Tenfold as well. It really helped spice up the race because the local horses out here, they're all right, but I think getting some of these horses to come in, especially the 1-2 out of the Stephen Foster, really makes it a far more interesting race. And those on paper look like the best horses. The only question will be, well, you know, they like the surface, which is the question you would ask of any horse that ships in here. But on paper, Seeking the Soul and Quip are the two best horses.
Agreed. The mile and a quarter, much like what we discuss with the Alabama, the mile and a quarter is always the interesting part of the equation, and invariably you get horses that are trying it for the first time. And you know, one of the things that I saw some people talk about, which was a fair topic, Jay, the fact that this is open to 3-year-olds, and yet it seems fairly unusual when a 3-year-old avails themselves of the opportunity.
Yeah, it is. Even though the very first Pacific Classic was won by a 3-year-old. Despot was 3 when he won it. But over the years, there have not been very many 3-year-olds who have attempted it. To me, this year, it would have been a good time for a good 3-year-old to jump in. Unfortunately, look, Game Winner was being pointed for the Travers, and Omaha Beach isn't ready to run yet, and nor would you run him in a mile and a quarter race against Older off of a layoff anyway. But, you know, had he progressed, perhaps it would have been an option for him. But you need a horse that's kind of at that level to take on older horses. You know, don't forget that Your Best Pal won it, for instance. He was second in the Kentucky Derby that year. He was a high-class proven commodity already. And rather than go back east, you know, there were many reasons for him to stay here, especially that John Mabee, who owned him, was the president of Del Mar at the time. So that those were among the reasons he ran here. But nevertheless, I think to your wider point, I think good 3-year-olds can be a factor in this race, and it'd be nice to see more take a shot at it. Mucho Gusto's probably not a mile and a quarter type horse, or maybe you could have seen a horse like him, for instance, taking a shot at that race, or Improbable, if he was ready to go. So, but there's just really not. I think you need a horse at the Game Winner Omaha Beach level to really take them on. But they can and do it, and I think it'd be neat if we saw more try it.
Well, we got a fun cast, and the anchor leg of the cross country pick 5 that we just discussed, the lead in from the Pac Classic, the Del Mar Oaks. And again, invaders from the east, most notably Chad Brown. If there's going to be fillies on the grass and a grade one involved, Chad Brown's going to send a horse or two.
Right. And Cambier Park, I'm sure, will be the favorite in the race, offered third in the Belmont Oaks behind the best 3-year-old grass filly in the country, Concrete Rose. Subsequently came out of that race and won the race at Saratoga. And she drew well. It's a big field. Trips are going to be paramount in this race. Cambier Park drew the rail in a 14-horse field. It's a mile and an eighth race, and it starts in the chute. So there's that little dog leg before you head into the proper first turn as well. You've got Mucho Unusual in here, who's really raised her game since she moved onto the grass for Tim Yak Team. She's won 3 in a row, including the big prep for this race, the San Clemente last month, which is the race
that's the race for that's the prep here for the Oaks. Simon Callahan's got a couple fillies in here. I know he's been very high on his import Hidden Message. She drew dreadfully. She ended up in the far outside 14 post, but she comes off a win at Sandown before shipping over. She's going to get Lasix for the first time, and she's got the meets leading rider, Flavian Pratt. But I'm going to gamble on Maxim Raitt, his other horse in here. She's got kind of dirtied up form. I thought she had a deceptively awful trip in the San Clemente. The comment line really doesn't do justice to how badly she got shuffled back to last, heading into the lane, and then really finished off the race well. And she's just going to get overlooked in a wide-open race. She might not be good enough. She may finish 7th out of 14 here, but she's going to be 25-1, and I thought she had a severely compromised trip last time where she could have been right there in the San Clemente. And to me, if you give Mucho Unusual a shot, Maxim Raitt is, by my way of looking at it, as good at 8 times the price. So that's who I'm going to gamble on in the Oaks.
Well, and gets the inside trip. And, you know, Brees Blanc, you don't have to worry about, you know, a heady turf ride when it comes to Brees Blanc. That's his in his wheelhouse. You bring up Mucho Unusual. And I do want to note, you know, George Krikorian, the homebred, this a cowbred from his operation. Earlier on the card, Krikorian has got the honor code. He doesn't own it, but he bred, of course, out of the wonderful Hollywood Story, Honor AP, Jay. And I don't know if Honor AP made your, I can't remember if he made your list at the beginning of the meet, but seeing Krikorian's name reminded me of Honor AP in the 6th race.
Right, so that's the maiden 2-year-old colt race on Saturday, and I've seen Honor AP. I think he's going to be better with more distance. So I think he's got some. I think he's got some talent. He's kind of a lumbering horse, and I don't know that. I don't think you're going to see the best from him tomorrow. But I think he's certainly worth watching down the line.
Yeah, I just, you know, when you've heard me bring up, I'm like an idiot for Hollywood Story. And I'm just crazy about her when she was a runner, John Sheriff's, of course. And she's produced nice boys and girls in her broodmare career, and she's still waiting for the, you know, the giant walk-off home run produce yet. You know, she's had, you know, a series of nice ones, but there may be a big one yet to come. By the way, I did reach out to Vicky Oliver, and Wildlife will run at Del Mar in the Del Mar Oaks.
Duly noted,
exactly. It's a fun group, and I also want to mention, you know, Norm Cassie, import, comes in with that hard legacy that won the regret for Mrs. Whitney. And that was special at the time. And, of course, subsequent the passing of Mary Lou, and first horse I've actually seen with the name, the estate of Mary Lou Whitney listed on the ownership line. How about let's keep moving through, Jay, and back toward the handicap and the Torrey Pines.
Which would you like to do, Steve?
Well, let's keep moving backwards on the card. And the 7th, which is the 3rd leg of the cross country, the grade 2, 1 3/8, Del Mar handicap.
So I really think getting back to a mile and a 1 3/8 is going to really benefit Marquis Water. I just think the longer the better for him. I thought he ran a good race in the Eddie Reed at a distance that's abbreviated for him against that level of horses. He's won going a mile and an eighth, but I think he's better going a mile and a quarter to a mile and 3/8. And I think I liked his race a lot last time, but certainly United, who ran 2nd to him in the Whittingham, is going to be extremely tough in this race. He has a nice win over the course when he got a little class relief off of his runner-up effort in the Whittingham. And I think these are two horses that are moving forward. I love It's in the Post. He's just such a cool horse, but I just don't think he's quite as good as he once was. And for whatever reason, this course has just never been his favorite. He's had some tough trips here where he could have done better, but he's also just not run as well here as well. I mean, the Del Mar handicap, for instance, in 2 years ago in 2017, he should have won the race. He had just an awful trip that day. But generally speaking, he just hasn't performed as well at Del Mar as he has other places. So I'm going to be against him tomorrow. The intriguing interloper is The Great Day. He ran a good race in the Arlington Handicap behind Bandua, and then chose to come out here rather than running the Arlington Million. But I like the locals, and I like both Marquis Water and United in that race.
Yeah, and Mandela seems, I don't want to say it's aggressive spotting. You know, it feels like, you know, maybe was this the plan all along?
Right. I mean, he had run the good race in the Whittingham, so he obviously showed he was capable at this level, but he still had a second level allowance to use, and that was just the perfect bridge to this race. It was exactly a month out and gave him a nice little tune-up, and now this is the spot for him.
Well, and of course, LNJ Foxwoods, the Roth family, enjoying great success. And last week, Kafefi, the win in the test. Another nice banner.
Right, they've
for
got
them
dog
to raise.
In the Del Mar Oaks, too.
Yeah, that's right. Let's look at the Torrey Pines. And grade three, it's a mile. And these are the 3 year olds on the main track. And I have not really looked at this group, Jay, to be honest. Bring us up to speed.
Well, it's a tougher race for me to get my head around. To me, the horse to beat is Classic Fit. She had a long time off before her last start when she ran, I thought, a decent second in the Mother Goose. It was her first start with Lasix. It was off of a layoff. Dunbar Road beat her, but she finished four in front of Jeltren. I mean, that was a good, solid race. And the fillies that she's running against out here, to me, are just okay. Hollywood Hills, you're talking about Krikorian. There's another one of his homebred stake winners. She won the Fleet Treat, the state bred race, last time. She just got up to beat Sneaking Out, who looked like she had kicked clear and was going to win the race. Sneaking Out, prior to that, was second in the Summertime Oaks to the ill-fated My Majestic Rose. And I just think these horses are okay. To me, the intriguing local is Fighting Mad, who's going to go two turns for the first time off of a strong runner-up effort behind Older in a sprint race here last month. And Lady Ninja came out of that race to perform well last week in the Rancho Bernardo. She didn't get off well and ran on for third. So I like Classic Fit and Fighting Mad. Those are the two I'm going to use in that race.
I'm just looking, too, that Fighting Mad and then Kim K coming out of that Indiana Oaks shortens up the 16th back to a mile, and there's no shortage of speed in here, Jay. This thing,
right.
This thing could overboil.
It could. Classic Fit ended up on the lead last time just because I think there was no pace. I think she's actually going to fall into a really good trip. So from where she's drawn and with the speed that's outside her, I think she can just tuck in right behind them and then be produced.
There, as they say, and the stake that's early on the card, I'm going to forget. I don't want to forget it. The Green Flash.
No, nor should you. It's you're going to have two of the top potential Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint contenders in here, including the reigning two-time champion Stormy Liberal, making his first start since he went over to Dubai and was a good third behind the brilliant Blue Point. Eddie Haskell has just turned into an absolute stone-cold runner in these 5/8 races. He loves the course at Del Mar. He's 6-for-7 running here in turf sprints, and he comes off a win in his most recent start against Tribalist, who's a really good, hard-knocking horse at this level. It's a chalky race, but I really think Stormy Liberal and Eddie Haskell are a cut above this group, but I would probably just give Eddie Haskell a slight edge just off of current form and his absolute love of this course. But I have a lot of respect for Stormy Liberal. He's just a world-class turf sprinter, but, you know, this is a means to an end. He's going to be at his best in a couple of months for the Breeders' Cup.
Well, and each time I look at the trainer stats, I'm reminded to ask people that were condemning and who were so quick to write off Peter Miller Peter has managed to have a very nice Del Mar, despite what everybody wanted to think at the beginning of the summer.
Well, he always does well at Del Mar. It's been interesting, though, because even he was saying kind of down on numbers coming into the meet. He didn't expect to be vying for leading trainer, but he's had his typically very strong Del Mar meet. He's always done well here over the years, and this year's been no exception.
Well, and the horses in the Midwest that he campaigned, you know, after a bit of a dry start, started to run better with, you know, each time they ran back. So Peter Miller doing fine for those that, you know, had all kinds of conspiracy concepts to discuss. I got to mention, because I was hoping to get him yesterday, but we ran out of time. Mark Glatt is enjoying a career year.
Yes.
And it's just, you can't congratulate him enough on his success. He won himself a Long Acres Mile, which I'm sure, given you know, his family's origins, is very important to him. He won the two-year-old stake the other day as well. And a guy that is so easy to root for.
Now, Mark is a terrific trainer. He's had a great summer. He's had a great year. He's obviously doing a terrific job with Eddie Haskell, who's going to be, as we were just saying, I think the one to beat in the Green Flash tomorrow. He won the Best Pal with Collusion Illusion, who's now 2-for-2. And the Long Acres Mile win last week with Law Abiding Citizen was extremely meaningful for him. He grew up in the area. I think his first runner ever was at Yakima Meadows, and he's a Washington native. He wears a Seahawks hat, as you know, from being out here. That's his usual morning garb, so... that race meant a lot to him, having grown up there and his dad training up there and over the years. And so it was that was a big deal. If I'm not mistaken, I think the committee that chooses the trainer and jockey and owner of the week and claimer of the week out here at Del Mar, it's revealed on Friday. But I heard the committee that does that picked Mark for trainer of the week last week. So he'll be recognized today between races for that.
Very cool. Let's turn to Sunday, Jay, before we wrap up. And I've really kind of celebrated Jerry Hollendorfer being able to ply his trade as his license entitles him to. The $1.4 million Don Alberto sibling, the Leams Map, and not this time, the filly Matera debuts from the rail in Sunday's opener.
Yeah, it's a Don Alberto showdown because not only do they have Matera, who drew the rail, the $1.4 million yearling, you mentioned a half to Liam's Map, et cetera, but they also have the horses drawn on the outside, a homebred,
right.
Stellar Sound, also by Tappet. This one they bred as opposed to Matera, who they bought. And both have trained like they are top-quality fillies. As Trevor would say, it comes down to these two. They ended up in the same race because they're trained by different people, but both are of very good quality and are ones to watch not only Sunday, but down the line.
And I should mention, just because it made me laugh, you know, sometimes you try to read things into the names of horses. Paul Redham named one Buyer's Remorse. I don't know if it's reflective of his feelings about the Liam's Map filly, but
I hope not.
I know it. I thought to myself,
funny,
right?
Yeah.
She was 200,000
behind it. There's usually very good stories behind the naming of his horses that have to do with people who, you know, take an edge on the golf course and things of that nature. He's got some pretty funny names that are sort of, a lot of them are inside jokes with some of his friends. So I'll have to try and find out what the backstory is on Buyer's Remorse.
I've got a feeling when we get to September, October, and down the road, this is going to be one of those summer two-year-old maiden events that it keeps producing horses, because there's no shortage here of six-figure types. Michael Stinson and Hollendorfer have the Honor Code filly Sentimental debuting in here. There's also Jerry Shields bred Spun Gamely, the hard-spun filly that Ian Cruelljack sends out. There's all kinds of what looks to be nice ones. Michael McCarthy with the Awesome Again filly, Christmas Pickles, for Cannon, looks like she's got some quality to her. So this is going to be a important race. The Grade 2 Del Mar Mile, Jay, and I'm going to pick this race for my Beat Bic Challenge. A lot of familiar faces in here, like Bolo and Sharp Samurai and Ohio. What a View and Bowie's Hero. My God. Bombard, Majestic Eagle, and a couple of new faces, too. Nacho Correas shows up with the Chilean, El Picaro. And Prince Earl on the rail is worth looking at. The Patio Prado, last seen in December in the Hollywood Derby.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty tall order for Prince Earl. But you know, we'll see how he does down the line. Obviously, the better one from the D'Amato barn is Bowie's Hero, who really got back on the beam last time in the Eddie Reed. He loves this course. He's 3 for 7 here a lifetime, and the cutback to a mile might be a little sharp for him, but if there's enough pace in here, I think he's, and there should be, because you've got horses like Bombard and What a View, who both like to really get rolling early. You know, Bolo's on the lead, but he's not as fast as those horses, so I wouldn't expect him to be on the lead, but I would expect him to be, you know, right off of them and helping to contribute to what should be a pretty significant pace in this race. So, you know, Bombard, this has been the race they pointed for since he got hurt last year. He's had the two preps, including a win in the Wicker against a slightly softer field last time. But the pace comes up tough, I think, for some of these horses that are going to be battling for the lead. The horse in here that I give another long look to, besides the ones that you mentioned, is Grecian Fire, who, if you get a chance to watch the tape of his last race, certainly the pace helped him initially, but the way he got stopped at the 3/8 pole in that race, he should have been eliminated. And to me, it was a remarkable achievement that he got back into the race, let alone finished it off to get up in time and win. And with the kind of pace that I think he's going to get again on Sunday, I would give him a very long look in there. That one of the just real intriguing things about this race is just all the jockey jumping that happened. It started with Pratt, who stuck with Bowie's Hero. So by virtue of him doing that, he gave up Bombard. Smith jumps on to Bombard. He had ridden Grecian Fire last time out, so with him abandoning that horse, Kent DeSormo jumps over and rides him for his brother, who's took over as the trainer of this horse during all the stuff that went on with Hollendorfer a couple of months ago. So I think Grecian Fire is going to get overlooked in the betting, and I think he's got a big shot at, you know, should be in the, I'm guessing, 8-to-1 range against this group.
No, I appreciate you pointing it out, and certainly Kent on that turf course. I was referencing Brees Blanc earlier, and KD certainly knows when to move on that turf course. And if this one's got the run, I like it, Jay. Appreciate that that perspective, and of course Bolo comes back in here off that Shoemaker shocker for Carla Gaines and company. I know people love to think that horses, you know, disappear and there aren't stars to, you know, watch for a long time, but here's Bolo, Sharp Samurai, and Ohio lining up shoulder to shoulder to shoulder. They've made a total of, you know, 70 starts between them. Give her, and, yeah. And what of you in there too, 8 years old, with moving toward his 30th career start.
Right. I mean, his last race was his first race in nearly a year, so he figures to run better off that. Just there's so much pace in the race, I think it's going to be tough for a horse like him to make all the running and still hang on. And Bolo is just a great story. I mean, as you know from having been out here for that win and talking to Carla about all that this horse has been through to get back after a layoff of almost 2 years, and to have the one run and then win the Shoemaker Mile. And the other thing that's really cool about Bolo is he's just a beautiful horse. He's just fun to watch train in the morning. He's just this black beauty when he's out there, and he's just had an incredible career with all the ups and downs that he's had, but certainly that was a big highlight last time.
It is a highlight-filled weekend at Old Del Mar. where the turf meets the surf. Jay, you know, you can see the finish line from here after this weekend.
Yeah, no, it's been a good summer. I think the all-stars of the meet have been David Jerkins and Tom Robbins for being able to pull off five-day racing on the heels of several weeks where we just had three-day racing on this circuit. There's a lot of pressure to run 5 days a week down here. They have a lot of group sales, and I think it'd be really tough to go back to some of these longtime groups that have supported Del Mar over the years and say, oh, just wanted to let you know next Wednesday when you're supposed to have your whole group come out, we're not going to be running. So they've been able, with under challenging circumstances, to put on competitive racing and to keep things going out here and to make some tweaks, like running seven races on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Look, it's not ideal, but it's the hand they're dealt, and I think they've done a remarkable job, all things considered, and hopefully the titles continue to turn out here.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because there was real question. There was real question in July as to the, you know, the population and the horse pool, and whether it would be engaging racing and whether they'd be able to maintain it. They knew the first, you know, 10 days or whatever, a couple of weeks wasn't going to be an issue. But, you know, especially when you come off of the Los Al meet where the turf horses all get to, you know, refresh. But it has been maintained, and momentum actually has grown as the summer's gone on, and here's the big weekend, Jay. Looking forward to it, and looking forward to talking next week ahead of the Travers and Jerkins and more.
I will look forward to that, and I'm glad you're back.
Jay, I appreciate it. Jay Privman, everybody, DRF Privman, and that gets us just to the past the bottom of the hour. Let's take the midpoint break. We'll come back. Jay's colleague, Mike Beer, joins us after this. We'll talk some handicapping, get some opinions in from Mike, and then Ed DeRosa as well, Hammer, Nick Tamaro, and more. Stay with us.